Today, we'd like to see the title of Forsake Me in the book of Psalm, chapter 22, verses 1 through 31. For online courses people, we'd like to suggest three questions. Number one, in verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? And from the words of my groaning, where can we find the phrase of why have you forsaken me in the New Testament? The first question, where can we find the phrase of why have you forsaken me in the New Testament? Question 2, in verse 10, I was cast upon you from birth, from my mother's womb, you have been my God. What does it mean? Question 2, in verse 10, I was cast upon you from birth, from my mother's womb, you have been my God. What does it mean? The last question, in verse 29, all the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust shall bow before him, even he who cannot keep himself alive. What does it mean? The last question in verse 29, what does it mean? First of all, we'd like to see a little background of the book of Psalms. Psalms contained 150 Psalms. Most of them were written by David in more than 70. Then the book of Psalms was written from 1446 before Christ in Exodus to 586 before Christ when Babylon conquered Judah. So basically the Psalms were written during the history of entire Israel, older the entire Israel before the birth of Jesus Christ. That's basically. Today, Psalm 22 was prophesied by David the king about 1000 before Christ, before Jesus Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. So basically today, chapter 22 was a prophecy of the David King about Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. So 1000 later, actually the event occurred. So verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? This one is a very popular verse in the New Testament when Jesus was crucified in Matthew chapter 27, verse 46 said, and about the ninth hour. Ninth hour is Hebrew time. Hebrew time is Roman time or today time, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, Chaldean, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? So, when Jesus was crucified, Jesus cried out to God the Father. So, that cried out was not a question of doubt, but Jesus' urgent request to God. Because Jesus didn't want that he was separated with God the Father. Then, therefore, question one, where can we find the phrase of why have you forsaken me in the New Testament? The answer, Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. Then, why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? So Jesus was being crucified, how long? For 6 hours, from 9 o'clock in the morning up to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Verse 2, oh my God, I cry in the daytime, here daytime, but you do not hear. And in the night season, here, night season, and am not silent. Why in the night season? That answer, Matthew chapter 27, verse 4, 45, chapter 27, verse 45. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour. So, sixth hour, which means today our time or Roman time, noon. Noon until ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there was a darkness. There is no light. So in the night season, darkness over all the land. So in the darkness, Jesus cried out, "Why have you forsaken me?" From 9 o'clock in the morning. So 9 o'clock in the morning, after noontime, the light was there. So here indicating in the daytime, but in the night season, which meaning noontime up to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, that time is the darkness was over all the land where Jesus was crucified. So that's why here in the night season, and am not silent. Number three, but you are holy. You are holy, which means God the Father holy, but Jesus bore our sins. So John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, which meaning the Lord Jesus Christ incarnated. The Lord Jesus Christ was in the beginning with God. So in the beginning of the creation, the earth and heaven, God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God was a unity, was a one, was a together, not separated, was not separated. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. So all sinners requires the shed of the blood. That's why we know that in the Old Testament, the Israelites committed sin. So they had to bring offering sacrifice, usually such as cow or a lamb or a sheep, goat. Then, so the sinner prayed before the Lord, laying hand upon the head of an animal, symbolizing his sin imputed to lamb. Then priest killed the lamb or sacrifice animal. So then the shed, blood come out, means, actually meaning in the Old Testament covering the sin. So here, Hebrews chapter 9, without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So Philip, that's why Jesus Christ was sent on the earth by the Lord. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, who being in the form of God, originally Jesus Christ was in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. So that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came into the earth as a man, as a sacrifice. So Jesus Christ became offering sacrifice. Then Jesus bore all human sins. So Isaiah chapter 53 verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, on Jesus Christ, the iniquity or the sins of us all. So God the Father has laid on Jesus all human sins upon Jesus. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20, the front part, the soul who sins shall die. So the soul who sins shall die. That's why Jesus Christ bore all human sins. Jesus had to die because the soul who sins shall die. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. Oh, Lord, do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot meaning prostitute, is one body with her? For the two, he said, shall become one flesh, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So when Jesus Christ bore all human sins, so Jesus, all sins, become one body. So Jesus as a sinner, you know, on behalf of us, that's why Jesus had to die. Then here, you are holy, enthroned in praises of Israel. Verse 4, our fathers trusted in you. So our fathers, which meaning the Israelite fathers, trust in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trust in you and were not ashamed. Verse 6, but I, Jesus Christ, I am a worm and no man. A reproach of a man. The people, you know, reproached Jesus and despised by the people. Verse 7, all those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lid, they shake their head, saying. Ridicule is Matthew chapter 27, verse 39. So those people ridiculed, you know, Jesus Christ. And those who passed by, so passed by is the crucified Jesus, passed by the cross where Jesus was crucified, blasphemed him, or defamed the Lord Jesus Christ, wagging their heads. So ridiculed Jesus. They shoot out the lip, they shake their head, saying, verse 8, he trusts in the Lord, let him rescue him. That is Matthew chapter 27, verse 43. He trusts in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. So Jewish people ridiculed Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 15, verse 29, you know, through 32. And those who passed by blasphemed Jesus, wagging their heads and saying, and you who destroyed the temple and built it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking among themselves with the scribes, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. Even those who were crucified with him reviled him. So, according to David's prophecy, verse 7 and 8 was accomplished 1,000 later in the New Testament when Jesus was crucified. So high priests and the Jewish people ridiculed Jesus. Also, let him deliver him since he delights in him. Verse 9, but you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. What does it mean? Because Jesus was born by Jesus' mother's womb, which means for the marriage womb. But Jesus said, you, God the Father, has been my God. You are my Father. That is indicating Jesus' divinity. That example, Luke chapter 2, verse 49. Luke chapter 2, verse 49. Because when Jesus was 12 years old, so that time is Passover feast, Joseph and Virgin Mary, married together, and Joseph's family members together, they went to Jerusalem to join into Passover feast. But after finishing the Passover feast, they came back to Nazareth, hometown. But they didn't recognize Jesus didn't accompany them. So then Joseph and Mary came back, you know, to Jerusalem. Then 3 days later, they discovered Jesus sat with biblical scholars in the temple. That time is the Mary mother to ask Jesus, "Behold, we tried to find out, you know, why, you know, are you here?" Then Jesus said to them, Luke chapter 2, verse 49, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" Here, my father's is not Joseph. My father's is God the Father's business. So Jesus' divinity indicated, "You have been my God." When? From my mother's womb. Even from my mother Mary's womb, "You have been my God." Verse 11, "Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help." Verse 12, "Many bulls have surrounded me." You know, bull is indicating strong, you know, enemies, strong opponents, you know, such as Roman soldiers or many the Israelite and Jewish people who accused Jesus. "Strong bulls of Bashan." Bashan located the east of Galilee Sea. So Bashan, they are, you know, many grass. So the usually bulls are healthy. That indicates the book of Amos chapter 4, verse 1. "Here this word, you cows of Bashan, who are on the mountain of Samaria, who oppress the poor, who crush the needy, who say to your husband, 'Bring wine, let us drink.'" Here, you know, cows of Bashan, indicating strong, you know, cows, strong, you know, bulls, you know, "have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion." Verse 14, "I am poured out like water." That is like water accomplished on the event over Jesus' crucifixion. John chapter 19, verse 34. "But one of the soldiers," Roman soldiers, "pierced his side," Jesus' side, "with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out." So 2,000 later, exactly accomplished here, water, like water. "And all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax." Wax is melting, which meaning Jesus Christ was crucified from 9 o'clock in the morning up to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, which was 6 hours. So the weight of Jesus' body slipped out of his bone joints. So that's why he said, "like wax, it has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a parched shirt." Here, dried up. So because of bleeding coming out, so he had to be thirsty. That one, John in chapter 19, verse 28. "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, 'I thirst.'" So Jesus said, "I thirst. And my tongue clings to my jaws." So here, "my tongue clings to my jaws," indicating so thirsty. "You have brought me to the dust of death," meaning Jesus Christ was buried into the grave. Grave is a Hebrew word, you know, Hades or hell, you know, to the dust of death. Verse 16, "For the dogs have surrounded me." dogs is a symbols of wicked people. Dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Here, my hands are plural. So right hand, left hand. My feet, singular. So two feet, right feet, left feet together. Then is only one, nail put in there. Here is Zechariah also prophesied, chapter 12, verse 10. Zechariah, chapter 12, verse 10. And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitant of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look upon me whom they pierced. Upon me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him, for Jesus, as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. So, the Jewish people, looked upon Jesus, whom they, the Roman soldiers, pierced on the cross. But later, they discovered that the Jesus as the Messiah, as prophesied in the Old Testament. That time, they will mourn. That's, will mourn. So we know the Book of Revelation, so 144,000 Jewish people accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior during Great Tribulation. That is sealed by God. That kind of indicating a prophecy too. Zechariah chapter 13 verse 6. And one will say to him, what are these wounds between your arms? Then he will answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. So my friends, so the Jewish people, so called Jesus wounds. Then, verse 17, I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. That is established is Matthew chapter 27, verse 35. Then they crucified, the Roman soldiers crucified Jesus and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet David. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. So 1,000 letters, this particular version was accomplished. So one, statistical, mathematical, statistically calculated, this happened, Psalm chapter 22, the statistical probability is the 17th power over 10. 17th power over 10 probability. So that is almost impossible. That kind of exactly happened. One down the letter to chapter 22 over Psalm. Then is verse 19, but you, O Lord, do not be far from me, from Jesus. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Dog indicating Roman soldiers or the Jewish people, chief priest. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. Verse 22. Now, verse 22, now, God, answered Jesus Christ's cry. So God raised Jesus from the dead. God, God the Father resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead. So verse 22, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. because God, in answer to Jesus' cry, God the Father raised Jesus from the dead. You who fear the Lord, praise Him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify Him. Glorify God the Father and fear Him. All you offspring of Israel. For He has not despised it, nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. So Jesus Christ, God afflicted, but Jesus, God the Father, you know, did not despise, you know, Jesus' affliction. So nor has He hidden His face from Him, but when He cried to Him, Jesus cried to Him, God the Father, you know, heard. Verse 25, My praise shall be over you, or from you, in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear Him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek Him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. Verse 27. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. Verse 28. For the kingdom is the Lord's. This means the kingdom is the Lord's, meaning the kingdom's owner is the God the Father. He rules over the nations. So that kind of thing, you know, we can see Matthew chapter 24 in verse 30, Jesus said, Matthew chapter 24, verse 30, Jesus said, Then the sign of the Son of Man, Jesus, will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, which meaning Jesus will be coming again in heaven. That is the second coming in heaven. That time, so all believers, you know, will be caught up with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's called, you know, rapture, you know, all Christians' raptures, or in, you know, a church rapture. Church meaning the group of all, you know, Christians' raptures. Also, John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Also in me, meaning in Jesus Christ. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's why today, Christian, before Jesus coming in heaven, if you die physically, that means your soul and spirit immediately into the Jesus Christ in mansion. So they can, or while you are physically alive, Jesus coming again in heaven, that moment, your soul and spirit immediately go with the Lord who is coming in heaven. Your body is changed to the body made by heaven, because the present our body made by earth or by dust. So this body will go to dust, you know, anyhow. Book of Acts chapter 1 verse 11, Who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like a manner as you saw him go into heaven. So the angel, you know, told it to Jesus' disciples who were seeing Jesus' ascension. The angel said, you will see Jesus is coming again in heaven. Matthew chapter 6 verse 10, Your kingdom come, you will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a part of the Lord's prayer. So your kingdom, God's kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We know that millennium kingdom will be established on the earth, you know, 4,000 years. So we know that. That's why here, verse 28, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and He rules over the nations. The Lord Jesus Christ rules over the nations. Verse 29, all the prosperous, which meaning all the fat of the earth, shall eat and worship. This means all believers shall eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust shall bow before Jesus, even he who cannot keep himself alive. So which meaning unbeliever. Because John chapter 3, verse 16, Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Here, whoever believes in Jesus should not perish, have everlasting life, which means believers will not die, you know, rather than living forever, everlasting life. So that means, so that's why here, even who cannot keep himself alive. So this one is the spiritual dead people. So believer or unbeliever stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because believers stand before Jesus Christ waiting for rewards, you know, from our labor during our physical life. But unbeliever waiting for punishment. So we know that punishment in the Bible said before a millennium kingdom, you know, punishment, the bottomless pit, you know, to Satan, you know, all unbelievers put into bottomless pit or abuso. But at the end of millennium kingdom, so all Satan and followers unbeliever get into Gehenna, or the lake of fire, you know, forever. So that kind of, you know, punishment, judgment will come to unbelievers. Then verse 30, a posterity or descendant shall serve him, Jesus. It will be counted to the Lord, to the next generation. So this psalm was written 1000 BC, which meaning 3000 years ago, before today. So today, we, to serve right now here, we are serving him. So in future generation as well, they will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born. So today, we declare the Jesus' righteousness, the Lord's righteousness. Also, our future generation also will declare Jesus' righteousness, that he has done this. So we know that Jesus came on the earth, then, you know, Jesus was killed on the cross with bloodshed for remission of our sins, and was buried, and third day rose again. So now, so we are server to Lord, you know, Jesus Christ. So let's see, you know, each question. In verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Where can we find the phrase of why have you forsaken me in the New Testament? That answer is Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. Jesus Christ cried and ejected the same word, you know, on the cross when he died. Question 2, in verse 10, I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. What does it mean? This particular mean, you know, indicating Jesus' divinity. Now, Jesus got the Father. Jesus' Father is God, the Father, not, you know, Joseph. You know, Joseph is a stepfather. Mother is Mary, but Jesus the Father is a God. Question 3, in verse 29, all the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust shall bow before him, even he who cannot keep himself alive. What does it mean? This is either believers or non-believers that shall bow before the Lord Jesus Christ in order to receive a judgment. One awaiting for reward, the other one awaiting for punishment. Okay, let's just sing song all together, the last song here. Page 36, number 6.